Good morning, everybody. Our reading this morning is taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 to 13. Therefore, since we are not surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while, as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. May God bless his word to us this morning.
When I was a teenager, I was in the Scouts for a few years. One day, our leader told us that his job had relocated and he was no longer able to lead the Scout group. And then a new leader showed up. And to me, this man was a keep-fit maniac. He seemed to think that the only reason to be at Scouts on a Friday night was to keep fit. And scouting sessions on a Friday evening seemed to turn into very long exercise sessions, and my body just was not ready for it. And I would be staggering home after the Scout meeting, and it would take me all of Saturday to feel that I'd recovered. I didn't last very long in the Scouts after that. Now, what this leader was trying to do for me was, in many ways, a good thing. But he didn't start me where I was at. Now, the letter to the Hebrews chapter 12 that we read today talks about our life as believers as a race that we have to run. And we need to be trained for this race. Now, we've learned already in the letter to the Hebrews, that Jesus, the one who trains us, knows us very well. He knows what it's like to be us, unlike that scout leader who seemed to have no idea what it was like not to be particularly fit. He knows who we are. He genuinely can help us. But he is our coach. He is there to get us through this race and to get us to run it as well as we can. To give another illustration, I was watching Ian Wright, the former Arsenal and England footballer, being interviewed a week or so ago. And he talked about the time that Arsene Wenger became the manager of Arsenal. And he brought in a whole load of new ideas. And one of the ideas that he brought in was that his team was expected to have a very strict diet. They had to eat the right things. And this was really painful for Ian Wright, who had his own taste in what he liked. But from now on, it was follow the way of the manager. And Ian Wright admitted that this new regime did him a whole lot of good and did the team a whole lot of good. Hebrews 12 tells us not just that we are running this race, that the Christian life is like a race, but we are to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. For Arsenal to succeed, they had to chuck things out of their diet and no doubt lots of other habits that weren't helpful to them. And in the same way, in this Christian life, there are loads of things that can trip us up. Hebrews 12 goes on to mention a couple of things. It talks about bitterness, roots of bitterness that can come into us. And the letter to the Hebrews says, if we want to run this race, they're going to trip us up. We need to get rid of them. Another one is sexual immorality. Relationships in the Christian life are about love. They are about commitment. If we move outside of that, they will trip us up. Now, the writer to the Hebrews is very blunt. He says, if we allow these things to trip us up, it's as if we despise everything that Jesus has for us. Instead, he tells us in a famous phrase that we are to fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, or to give another translation, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Consider him, the writer says. Look what he went through. He saw the joy that was ahead of him on the cross, and he despised its shame. Yes, what he went through was shameful. It was horrific. But he saw the joy ahead. In a similar way, perhaps, to Arsene Wenger, seeing the joy that would happen when they had their invincible season, where they didn't lose a match in the whole of the Premier League season. He saw that joy ahead and he said, right, if we're going to achieve that joy, here's what we need to do. We have come to God. We are learning what it means to follow Jesus. So fix our eyes upon him. Brothers and sisters, I've said it many times, but I'll say it again. Read the Gospels. Get to know this incredible person called Jesus. Try and understand what made him tick. Try and see the incredible future. We are receiving, it will go on soon to say in Hebrews, a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So let us worship, let us serve God in an acceptable way. And let's come to him. And let's get help in our time of need. So Hebrews 12 talks about discipline. When I was a teenager, I needed discipline in terms of getting fitter. Football teams need discipline in terms of the way that they play. And discipline never seems to be an easy thing. I remember once hearing an interview with an author. I can't remember which one it was, but the author was asked this question: do you enjoy writing books? And her reply was, I enjoy having written books. In other words, when she writes this book, she goes through all the disciplines that she has to do to get that book written because she knows what it's going to be like at the end of it. No discipline seems pleasant at the time. Now, the people who receive this letter are going through difficult times. And the advice of the writer to the letter is that they take it as discipline. Now, don't think that that means God's being horrible to them. What he's saying is, God can use this to teach you. God can use this to train you. Yes, it is unpleasant, but you know, fathers who love their children discipline them. And God would discipline us too. We have a big race to run here. It is the race of faith. God has so much that he wants to do through his church. So let's fix our eyes upon Jesus. Let's see what he did. Let's see the way that he drew this community around himself, and he trained them and he taught them, and how they became something that was just so utterly wonderful. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Don't let them go, because you know where he is now. He's at the right hand of the Father, and he's got a new covenant with us. He is writing his laws upon our hearts and upon our mind. He's taking us to a place where we no longer have to say, know the Lord, because we do know the Lord. We were looking at that a week or so ago. So I invite you today, challenge you today, fix your eyes upon Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith, who is our coach, who is the one who represents our Father, who wants to train us. What an amazing person Jesus is. God will shake the heavens and the earth, but what Jesus has done will never be shaken. And since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. And that fire will change us and transform us.